Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Bus and Rail Subcommittee meeting today on Tuesday, October 12th, 2021. To begin with, please note that this meeting is being recorded and we put all the audio of all the meetings on our website, which is wmata.com. Just to share a few helpful tips for people joining via phone calls, you can press *6 to mute or unmute yourself. If you would like to make any comments, you can raise or lower your virtual hands by pressing *9. For everyone joining via video conference, you can click on the speaker icon and that will mute or unmute your voice. And to raise your virtual hands or lower your virtual hands, if you go under reactions, click on the hand icon and that will do the trick for you. At this point, everyone should be on mute. So I would request, please keep yourselves on mute unless speaking. This helps eliminate any external noise. It also helps us have one speaker at a time. As you know that we do have interpreters with us on this call. And as usual, I would request if you can please state your name first, it helps them doing their job well. Chair Calabia, if you would agree, I can go ahead and read the meeting agenda for the record.
Sure, please.
Okay. All right. Actually, what I would do is I would share my screen as I read the agenda out loud. So bear with me for a quick moment. I'm hoping my screen is visible at this point. Yes?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So we just went through some announcements. After I read the meeting agenda, I would go and take roll call of the AAS, the Bus and Rail Subcommittee members. Afterwards, Chair Calabia will go through the motion of reviewing and approval of today's meeting minutes and last month's meeting, today's meeting agenda and last month's meeting minutes. Afterwards, we have a team from Arlington County to give us information about the floating bus stops in their county, followed by some discussion within the committee. As per the schedule at 5:05, we have Roslyn Station study that would be presented by Zachary Billett. At 5:25, we will have Jim Hemry, and he will give us some information about the pedestrian signal messages as well as trip planner. At 5:45, if we have any public comments, we will take those during that time, and the meeting adjourns at 6 p.m. At this point, I would stop sharing my screen. And I would like to take the attendance of all our attending members at this point. So please state your name, confirm your presence when I ask or announce your name. Elver Ariza Silva. Darnese Bush. Tino Calabia.
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coles. Rico Dancy.
Present.
Thank you. Deborah Fisher.
Here.
Thank you. Marcy Goldstein.
Here.
Thank you. Melanie Henderson.
Senior Washington correspondent.
Thank you for whoever muted themselves. I'm not sure if Steve Hart is on the line. Okay. Thomas Mangrum.
Yeah.
Thank you. Philippa Mazzell.
present.
Thank you.
From sunny Florida.
Well, I'm hoping you're enjoying yourself there. Anthony Oberg informed that he will not be able to attend the meeting today. Phil Posner.
Present.
Thank you. Doris Ray. Denise Rush.
Present.
Thank you. Paul Semelford. Patrick Sheehan. Kelly Simonow. Okay, that concludes the roster for today's meeting. I could not hear their presence, please do send me either an email at your convenience or send me a message in the chat. We do have some presenters on this meeting today. So I would ask, I would request that if you have any visual presentations, please do describe them in detail for our members who are either blind or have low vision. We do have some members in our committee as well as some of our members from the public may be joining. At this time, Chair Calabia, I would ask for you to move the meeting floor forward. You have the floor.
Thank you, Anu. Sure. First of all, do I hear any objections to adopting today's agenda as presented by Anu? Hearing no objections, we have adopted the agenda. With respect to the minutes, which I briefly mentioned in our last meeting, I have to apologize at the moment. I was unable to find them again for this meeting, so we may have to postpone that part of the meeting. We do have on the agenda the first presenter. Am I correct? Paul Meunier? I thought I saw him amongst those who have tuned in.
Good afternoon. I am here.
Oh, good. Yes. You know what we've been talking about, floating bus stops. We had heard from the District of Columbia at a prior meeting. And if you could now make your presentation, and then we'll have questions about your presentation afterwards. Mr. Meunier?
Certainly. Let me see. I need to share my screen here. Host disabled participant. Okay, so it says my screen share is disabled.
You should be able to do that now.
Okay.
Do you have any slides to show us?
One moment, yes. My computer seems to be wanting to run slow today.
Ah, there it is.
Okay.
I can see it on my screen.
Okay. And actually, this is going to be a fairly brief presentation. We've just started working with floating bus stops. We only have one installation in the county. It was kind of a pilot. And I know that this group has had some concerns about floating bus stops. And what we want to do is come in today, just give you a little background about our bus stops and basically have a conversation with you. And see how we can better work to provide stops that are accessible and comfortable and convenient to use. So the first slide is a title slide, Arlington County Bus Stop Program, Floating Bus Stops, Bus and Rail Subcommittee, Metro's Accessibility Advisory Committee, October 12, 2021. And these slides all have text on them. I'll read through the text, but there are no pictures or anything like that. So Arlington County's, I want to talk about Arlington County's transportation vision for a moment. Arlington's vision of transportation is a system that provides equity and access to all users. It involves concentrating investment in ways that yield the greatest good, not only from a transportation standpoint, but also for overall quality of life in Arlington residents and workers. And that's when we, what we do in transit is support this vision. And how do we do that? And how do we do that in the county? Coming up with many options for people to get around the county, a multimodal type transportation network with transit, pedestrians, bicycles, and scooters. And obviously we're all working to share the same space, the limited space, particularly in Arlington County. And Arlington County looks for innovative ways to improve transportation and make it safer. And when you are doing innovative things and new things and creative things, these are things that haven't been proven. They're new, and sometimes they don't work the same way they do as they are planned on a piece of paper. So again, that is why we're trying to come out and get information from the committee to make sure that we are putting in place things that are going to make this bus stop useful to you. Currently, Arlington County's bus stop program, this is the next slide. Arlington County's bus stop program completes approximately 20 bus stop improvements per year. Even though that doesn't sound like a lot, that still is about $1 million worth of improvements that we're doing on those 20 sites. It's about $50,000 a site to make improvements. Our current efforts on the slide, there are two columns, current efforts and planning efforts. On our current effort side, we have the total number of bus stops in the county is 1,011. And of those 1,011, 648 are Arlington bus stops that Arlington serves. So there's still a large percentage that are joint Arlington, WMATA, and some of the other regional partners. In FY21, 23 stops were improved. As I said, we try to do about 20 a year. It's about $1 million. In addition to that, there were 132 actions that were taken that included maintenance and things other than bringing the bus stop into compliance. I should have started with that. The bus stop program is specifically focused on bringing bus stops that are not in ADA compliance up to ADA compliance. So that is the focus of the program. And as I said, we do about 20 stops a year, and we are spending about $1 million a year doing that. Second column, the planning efforts. There's a lot of different ways that bus stops can be installed in the county. We do have the dedicated program for improving ADA compliance. And in FY22, we have 20 stops planned for improvement. But bus stops also get improved as part of other county projects, street, sidewalk, even facilities that are being built. If there is a transit service near the location, we review that and see if there's opportunities to add these small pieces to these larger projects and complete bus stop improvements as those projects are being done. And the third main way that bus stops are improved in the county is private developers are come through and are building projects. And if it's at a location where there's transit, we look at that and we determine if there is a way to ask for a bus stop improvement, sidewalks, or any other kind of improvement that would make sense along with the development. And even when private developers are managing the project, Arlington County is responsible for giving them the standards and explaining how our bus stop improvements should be put in and ensure that they follow all county guidelines and standards for any infrastructure that's installed. And finally, Arlington County exploding bus stops, the last slide. Currently, there's one stop installed at Wilson Boulevard at North Pierce. This is kind of a, I would say a pilot. This is the only one we have installed right now. It was designed using NACTO and ADA guidance. I'm pretty sure the committee's familiar with both those documents. One thing I'd like to mention is that, you know, the NACTO standard, the ADA guidance, we look at these standards as the minimum treatment. Additional features can be added to make the stop more useful. As you're aware, even a stop that's completely ADA compliant, if it's not paying attention to where the trip generators are, it can be 100% ADA compliant, but can't serve the purpose for which it is there. So that is something that we're always looking at as we are looking to improve bus stops and pedestrian facilities, et cetera, making sure that we are actually serving the needs of the community. Currently, there are 9 other floating stops in Arlington that are in various stages of design. There are 5 county projects and 4 private developer projects. And what we want to find out is understanding the standards and what is required at the minimum. What are the things that need to be added to these projects to ensure that we are making them the most convenient and useful stops possible to everybody? And the last bullet, the most important, we're here to listen to your concerns about floating bus stops and treatments that we can include to make you feel comfortable using the stop. And that is it. We, like I said, we are coming to listen, and I'm not sure if anyone else on my team wants to make any comments, but I would pass it back to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Meunier. You mentioned in connection with the design and the guidelines by NACTO and ADA, you mentioned trip generator. Could you explain that again?
The trip generator is just essentially where the transit trip is coming from. So when the example that I use is if there's a bus stop and you install it at a corner and you build a nice sidewalk and you connect it to the curb cut, you can have an ADA compliant bus stop there. But going in the other direction, away from where you put that sidewalk, is a dirt path that goes to a senior center. And you don't have that compliant connection to the senior center, where that is where a lot of your trips are being generated, and a lot of the people that need accessibility to the stop are probably coming from. So that is what I mean by that. So a trip generator is just where the trips are originating from or where the trips are ending.
Just to back up a second, you mentioned there are 1,011 bus stops, and of those, there is only one floating bus stop at the moment. Is that correct?
Correct.
Very good. let me open it to other members of the advisory committee. Do you have questions or suggestions? Do I see any hands up, or seeing none? Let me ask you this. On Monday, October 11th, ArlingtonNow.com published an article about the attempts to provide safety for children, especially those going to school.
Excuse me, yes. This is Thomas. For as I see, you got three hands up that wanted to talk.
Yeah. Yes, thank you, Thomas. I saw the hands after Chair Calabria had started talking. So.
Okay. I don't know which order they came up in. On my screen, I see Phil Posner, Steve Caffin, and Doris Ray.
Chair Calabria, the order was Steve Caffin, Doris Ray, Phil Posner.
Okay. Steve?
Okay. I would yield to Phil, but I'm glad to start first. The bus stop improvements for ADA compliance, I'm interested in what specifically are the improvements? What kinds of things are being improved to ensure ADA compliance?
Good question. Mr. Munier?
Yeah. In short, it's installing 5x8 pads, curb cuts, making sure that there's a connection to an accessible pathway. And those are the major improvements. Depending on the amount of people at the stop, there could be a shelter installed, benches, if needed, if it requires a railing or what other street amenities may be necessary there. So in general, it's making sure you have a compliant pad, accessible path to the stop, and any necessary lighting, street furniture, et cetera.
Okay, thank you. Thanks.
Doris? Unmute yourself, please, Doris. While she's doing that, let's move over to Phil.
And just a question for Ms. Munger. Wilson and Pierce is right in the Rosslyn area and part of that project. And I wonder if you have a picture of the bus stop, because that area has anywhere from four lanes to two lanes, wide streets, narrow streets, rolling hills, et cetera, et cetera. So it'd be really nice if we could actually take a look at the bus stop.
I would have to defer to other people from Arlington on the call that can possibly share that. I don't have a picture of it myself.
Thank you.
Do any of your teammates have a picture that they can show on the screen?
One moment, let me check.
Well, easier than that, the question is the stop on Wilson or is it on Pierce?
It is on Wilson. It is on Wilson at the top of the hill.
Ah, great. Okay. Thank you.
Doris, you're unmuted.
Yeah, hello?
Yes, go.
Did you call on me?
Yes.
Oh, okay, because I'm having a hard time hearing. Hi, this is Doris Ray, and I'm wondering a couple of things. One, I don't recall your bringing this presentation to the Disability Advisory Commission, and I'm wondering whether you could do that. And then the other thing is, I don't know whether you presented at the TAC or the Transportation Commission, so I'd like to hear what they've said about it. The other thing is, we're most concerned, too, about floating bus stops, and I'm wondering where you might be using those. For example, I sat in the site plan reviews for Metropolitan Park 6, 7, and 8, the Amazon building, and I understand there will be bike lanes. Are you going to be putting floating bus stops down there or on Route 1 and places of that nature? Or where else would you be putting them?
I'm not aware of anything on Route 1. I don't think anything's going on Route 1. The Met Park project that you're talking about, that will have, or right now, conceptually, it does have floating bus stops included. That's a developer project, but as I said, Arlington County is responsible for making sure those are installed correctly.
Okay, so can you, are you guys planning to present at the Disability Advisory Commission and the TAC?
Yes. From my understanding, some of our colleagues from the Traffic Engineering Bureau did present to the DAC a few times regarding floating bus stops. We are going to go back to the DAC, I believe, next week to present on the floating bus stops, and we are going to present to both our TAC and our accessibility subcommittee.
Doris? Well, I'd like to ask then if at that presentation at the other commission, will you have pictures of what you intend to do?
Paul, can I share picture?
Yeah, if you have the ability to share.
I'm sorry, I missed the speaker, but yes, you should be able to share your screen.
Very good.
So this is Pierce Street here. This is Wilson Boulevard heading northbound, westbound, and bike lane, and here is the railing put up to protect the island users.
Sir, could you identify yourself?
Oh, sorry. My name is Mark Minardi, Senior Capital Project Manager here at Arlington Transit.
At the far end of the platform, I do see a slope. Maybe I'm mistaken. But
no, this is you are correct, sir. This is the handicap crossing to the island, so you can only enter and exit from this end. I don't have a good picture showing that.
No, there must be a better one available. If you could take a picture and send it to us later.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it. We have discovered that there have been, or at least one flaw that we've photographed in a on a floating island in DC, and hopefully you won't have such a flaw in your floating islands. Is there anything else you would like to add?
Or does Tino, I have a question about the bike path. Is that a one-way or a two-way bike path?
I believe that is supposed to be a one-way heading in the direction of traffic with the traffic heading westbound, because Clarendon Boulevard heads eastbound, and that is the...
So the bicycles will be coming up the hill, which will slow them down, so that's a good thing.
That's what we believe, yes, sir.
Yeah, it's also incredibly steep, and someone that goes there all the time and walks on crutches, it's hard to get to that bus stop. It's easy to get from the bus stop to the metro, because that's downhill.
Sir, I imagine then that the bike line going in the opposite direction is on the far side of the street beyond
that truck? It's on Clarendon Boulevard, which is a one-way across Beach Street here going in that direction on the other side of these. I don't have a map of that per se. But.
Yeah, you know, Wilson and Clarendon bifurcate back by Courthouse, and so they're individual roads.
I see.
One way.
Well, I'm just wondering if there is a counterpart floating bus stop on the other side of the street, which I gather is going downhill.
Not at this time.
Bikes going downhill are perhaps a problem for people with disabilities mm-hmm. and seniors who are trying to get to that floating bus stop.
No, sir. There are no other floating bus stops, as we say, currently in Arlington County, and there are none on Clarendon Boulevard.
Okay. So this is the only one.
Correct.
The I think you mentioned that there are 23 places where bus stops are to be improved. Is that where you're going to create new floating bus stops at any of those 23?
The 23 number is for the bus stop improvement program. I don't know if floating bus stops are being considered for any of those stops. That's just one program that helps us improve stops throughout the county. The other stops are part of other projects and other projects and private development.
You know, one question is, as bicycles are coming up the hill, the traffic lights appear to be pointing to where the cars can see them, but I'm not sure there's anything that the bikers can see going up that lane. And that's our major problem with someone who has vision, low vision, or using a walker. It's hard to see something coming from your left. And so it's really up to the bicyclist to stop and slow down. And if there's no stoplight or stop sign or something up there to warn them that there are low vision people crossing the street to get to that bus stop, that's not helpful.
Good point, Phil. The committee knows we have seen several photos of bicycles that are whizzing through red lights. Hopefully your designers, your traffic engineers will take that into consideration when you improve this particular floating bus stop or create new ones.
Are there any? Tino?
Yes.
Thanks. Steve. Thanks. Yeah, I think Phil hit perhaps the most important of the concerns we had when this came up previously, and that's the trigger to scooters and bike riders that people are crossing or going to be almost immediately trying to cross into the area. You know, I was looking at the picture, and I may not be seeing it, but I don't see any speed bumps or other trigger mechanisms. And also, I see, if you look at the left, there may be some trees or bushes that might be obstructions to the scooters or bicyclists seeing people who might be crossing. So I'm just asking if, this is a work in progress or this is something that's going to be considered in the future.
Good question.
I would say that I don't like to say the work in progress. We are learning, and that's why we're here, is we're trying to learn these floating bus stops are fairly new. As I said, not everything goes the way you plan it on paper. And we understand that this committee has had some difficulties with some of the treatments with floating bus stops, and we're trying to avoid that. So even though I don't like to say a work in progress, potentially there are measures we can add that we can consider. And that's what we're here to find out, is what are the things that we need to add. So far, I've heard that we need to make sure there's some vertical deflection or definitely some warning signage, making sure that the bicyclists have a clear view of the signals and the signs when they're put up. So that's what I've heard so far.
Our staff architect has her hand up. Carol?
Good evening. I'm Carol Lopez. I am with the Office of ADA Policy and Planning at WMATA. And I just wanted to ask if you've had any, other than this particular outreach, any outreach sessions with members of the community, perhaps particularly people who are blind, on wayfinding to these new bus stops. Because one of the things that a former advisory committee member always brought up is, how do I know that this stop is in an island? If I'm going down the street, somebody tells me, oh, the bus stops down the street. How do I know I have to cross a bike path to get there? And I'm wondering if what you have done for the community in that sense.
I know that, and I haven't been fully involved with this project from the beginning. This project's, I believe, around 3 years old. We have gone to the county's Disability Advisory Committee, or my counterparts in TE&O did, and discussed it with them. As for, on street, being out in the field with people with vision problems or other people from the community, we haven't done that. So that, again, that's why we're here, is we understand that there may be this gap in the outreach that we have done, and we want to make sure that we are providing facilities that are going to be beneficial and convenient and safe for you to use.
Okay. So other than what Ms. Dr. Posner said, as far as a way of stopping a cyclist from rushing through that crosswalk because someone who may not look like they have a disability is trying to get through, and there's not enough time to cross. Other than that, once you're in this island, I think that knowing where the bus is going to actually have the deployment of the ramp or where the door is going to be is also a good thing. We've seen in DC that where there's a space like that for the deployment of the bus ramp, people go and put these newspaper boxes and block the access because there's no definition, it's just a space. So I'm wondering if you had considered looking at perhaps something that describes the space as a do not block this area with a new trash can or something like that.
Yeah, that's been a continuing problem. I worked as the bus stop coordinator in Fairfax, and issues with people putting newspaper boxes is something that has been difficult. We do have people that come out and can remove those once we've identified they're there. But there, it's a little difficult.
You sleep with me tonight, Nessie?
You're like, hell yeah.
Somebody.
Since mommy and Cora are kind of tight over here.
I think someone needs to mute.
Come on, man.
Somebody needs to mute their.
Okay. I have muted people who were not speaking at the time. So please continue.
Anu, while you're there, could you keep us on time? How many more minutes do we have for this session?
We have 5 more minutes, and then we have time for a committee discussion. So if you'd like to spend more than 5 minutes, you surely can.
Doris, we have a few more minutes. And you have your hand up, Doris?
Chair Calabia, before you move on with Doris, I believe Thomas Mangrum had raised his hand a couple of times, which is not up at the moment. So if he would like to make any comments also.
Okay, Thomas? Thomas?
Yes.
please, your question or comment?
Yes. My question was, when it comes to the floating bus stops and stuff, and the different counties that are responsible for making sure they put in correctly, do we have anybody to go over there to make sure the different floating bus stops is put in correctly, or are we just counting on the different counties to do that themselves, the police themselves?
Mr. If there are, from the WMATA perspective, is that a question for WMATA?
Thomas?
Yes.
Are you asking whether WMATA is checking out these?
I'm asking whether or not anybody's checking them out to make sure that they are put in correctly. Or what have you, and also making sure that they're giving enough space for people to use wheelchairs to actually be able to get on the bus, like the bus get close to the stop, or what have you. Because some bus stops, all for them to put down the ramp and give a wheelchair user enough space to be able to get on, they got to move some distance away from the curb. So do we have enough room for a wheelchair to actually get in there once they put down the lift?
Yes, Thomas, and in response to your question, I, as chair of the subcommittee, don't know of anyone, either on the subcommittee or the full committee or of staff, who are going out to these stops to see if they present the problem. Thus far, at the suggestion of Carol Lopez, I visited 2 floating bus stops in DC, and certainly one of them not only had a flaw, but there could be some other questions raised about them. Maybe we should have someone assigned to check out Arlington's floating bus stops, or perhaps volunteer to work with the planners, the traffic engineers about them.
Can I interject for a minute? For 1 second, Paul Mounier again from Arlington County. I want to be clear that we do work with Metrobus very closely. We work with their planning team all the time. That is how we became aware that the community had concerns with the floating bus stops. We had not heard that in the outreach we had done, and obviously we're trying to build on that and have a more robust outreach and making sure people are satisfied with what is happening at these stops. We do follow all ADA guidelines when it comes to installing bus stops. As I said, on paper, that can work. We're following the guidelines, we're following the standard, it's a minimum. If it's not something that is convenient, easy, and safe for you to use, we want to know what we can do to improve that. So I just want to make sure you understand that we do follow all the guidelines. We based our bus stop guidelines on WMATA's bus stop guidelines. And as I said, we work with them very closely anytime we're installing any kind of infrastructure.
Well, we assume that.
This is Jim Hamry. If I could answer your question.
Yes, Jim. Yes,
we do have staff who are designated to report on the condition of a new stop to confirm that it meets our operational and appears to meet our ADA requirements. We do work with Carol's team to confirm that it does meet the WMATA interpretation of ADA, which in some instances can vary from jurisdictional staff who may not be as familiar with buses and interpreting what FTA application on metro facilities.
Thanks, Jim.
We'll not go into service without having been pre-screened.
Okay. I will send you a photo of one flaw that I found on a visit to a floating bus stop in DC. Before we leave Arlington County, let me mention that I looked at Arlington County's webpage, especially related to bicycle traffic. And on that webpage, I saw no mention of any observance or caution taken to make sure that people with disabilities and seniors are safely accommodated. I don't know if you can answer that now, but if you could point out to us in writing some page on the website where seniors and people with disabilities is taken into consideration, I'd appreciate seeing that.
To give you a little Arlington history, two of our former commissioners were bicycle riders. And when what you just said was brought up at a commission meeting as an older person on crutches, I was told to just be more careful when I walked. There was total disrespect by those two commissioners who are fortunately no longer on the commission. But some of the things that they said in policy may still be hanging around before they left.
Well, I hope that the Arlington County has begun to correct that deficiency. But in any event, if Paul or any member of your team can, in the next day, point out on what webpage there is a recognition of how to accommodate safely people with disabilities and seniors, I'd appreciate seeing that because I saw none in my looking at it. And I also watched 7 of your excellent videos and there was no recognition of what the needs are of people with disabilities and seniors on that too. I suppose we're at the time to have a full committee discussion.
Chair Kalabit, this is Anu. Yes, you're absolutely right. We can easily transition into our next topic. Doris Ray has her hand up, so if you'd like to continue with her.
Doris, one last thing, and I see there's someone named William Jones. Yes. Doris?
Yes, I'm hoping to see some communication with presentations by you all for the Disability Advisory Commission, as I said earlier, because we really haven't had any particularly on this topic of the floating bus stops. But I want to ask you, what considerations you're making for all the new urban development plans that include things like parklets and other zoning issues related to bicycle lanes and micro mobility devices as they interact with bus stops and development, not only in the urban areas, but for example, up and down Columbia Pike and Lee Highway, where there are possibly opportunities that you might be adding some of these floating bus stops. And it is actually, you need to be discussing this with the Disability Advisory Commission and with the Transportation Commission and the TAC, because I don't think you're getting
30 seconds
from the disability community. And
I'd
like to say,
thank you,
a comment was made about the boxes, newspaper boxes in front of bus stops. And I want to say it took 6 years to get rid of the boxes that were at Wilson and Courthouse Road, a heavily used bus stop. So there needs to be planning and procedures for addressing the complaints that were made about them. And I'm the one who made a complaint about it. So I'm going to say it can't continue to be 6 years before we correct accessibility problems in Arlington.
And let me mention that this Accessibility Advisory Committee would also be concerned and hope that things are moved more quickly. We have a few seconds left. William Jones and then Tom Mangrum. William Jones, could you identify yourself?
Yes, good afternoon. I hope you all can hear me. William Jones, Transit Services Manager for Arlington County. I will say to you that the Transit Bureau, along with the Division of Transportation, which includes Transportation Engineering and Transportation Planning, are and will be looking at the items that were discussed in this meeting as part of the Vision Zero program. We will also take these items that you all have shared with us into consideration, as we will be meeting with the Disability Advisory Commission next week. We'll be meeting with the Accessibility Subcommittee of the Transit Advisory Committee next week, and we'll be meeting briefly with the TAC as part of our November meeting. And then we will move on from there in terms of how we can communicate and outreach with others, such as the Council on Aging and the Foundation for the Blind. Just want to share that for the good of the group.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
If you could also do something about pointing out which page or pages in your website address the safety of people with disabilities and seniors, I'd appreciate it. Tom Mangrum, one last thing. Go.
Yes. My quick question. What is micro mobility things? Adora said that, and I don't know what that's supposed to be. Can somebody tell me?
Doris, you want to explain yourself?
Yeah, a parklet is an extension that of the sidewalk at the curb that goes out into the street, into the parking lane, and borders on the bicycle lane. And the county has recently looked at zoning changes that will allow businesses like restaurants to build out and then maintain these parklets, which are a little green area and maybe some benches and maybe some picnic tables or something of that sort. And so the question that needs to be addressed is, if there's a sidewalk and a curb and there's a parklet and there's also a floating bus stop out there, it's going to be extremely hard for blind people to navigate. There are other ADA issues that could come up with the parklets, because the businesses will be maintaining them and making sure they're accessible, and we need standards for that. But the big thing is that I think, for the sake of concise, clear navigation on a sidewalk, if you have sidewalks cluttered by parklets and floating bus designs and all kinds of other deviations from the accessible sidewalk. And right now, also Arlington is extending outdoor seating for restaurants way beyond what was originally intended. So there are a lot of barriers on the sidewalk for people to get to and from bus stops and subway stations. And
Doris, we're moving into the committee's discussion in general of floating bus stops. I should mention too that Megan Carnegie, who made a presentation last month to us, is here on a follow-up to her presentation. We have other guests, including Dr. Seth Morgan, who provided his experience with his commission dealing with these matters as well. There may be other guests too, but you have started us off, Doris. Let me look to Megan Carnegie. You have some follow-up to your presentation, Megan?
Yeah, hi everybody. I'm Megan Carnegie. I am with the District Department of Transportation. Nice to see everybody again. I am really just enjoying listening to the conversation, and I think we're and also I've appreciated the emails that you've sent, Tina, over the last couple of days with a lot of photos and a lot of text that really outlines some of the things that you've observed out in the field. And so we're working closely with WMATA on, kind of our path forward to make sure that, we're addressing concerns that have been raised. And making sure that our bus stops are safe and accessible and comfortable. So I think that's, where we're at right now. Would like to be able to come back, I think, in the future to share updates with this group and others, but we're still kind of working through making sure we understand all of the outstanding issues and our path forward on addressing those.
Well, thank you, Megan. With respect to the two visits that were made to floating bus stops, one of the photos clearly showed a flaw in the design of the floating bus stop at 14th and R. You may have noticed that in one of the photos. Yes or no?
Yes. Are you speaking about the ramp that connects?
Yes.
I am the crossing area up to the island.
Yes. Do you have any comment on that flaw, or what can be done to avoid or correct that flaw and avoid them in future floating bus stops that are constructed by the District of Columbia?
Well, like I said, we appreciate all the feedback that we've received from the committee, and we're reviewing it very carefully. I don't have anything to share on that specific item at this time.
Would you agree that, especially from the vantage point of people with disabilities, sliding ramp has a flaw in respect to people possibly falling over that, not even just because they may be of low vision, anybody might fall over that. I hope that your work with the District of Columbia will recognize how that kind of thing could be corrected. You have other members of your team. Johannes is with us. Any comments from Johannes? If not, I thank you then for joining us on this matter. Are there any other members of the advisory committee who want to go back to what we learned from the District of Columbia last week, or any other matters related to floating bus stops? I don't see any hands up.
Chair Calabria, there are no hands up on this topic at this point.
Yes. Well, we do have with us a member of the public who actually shared with us an important document regarding his commission on disabilities in Montgomery County. Seth Morgan, are you still with us? Perhaps not.
No, I am indeed.
He is.
Oh,
I am.
Okay.
No, I apologize. Seth. I was getting myself unmuted. I appreciate the presentation and hearing and looking at the pictures. Thank you very much. I'm a little bit confused because when the ADA was established and became law, the floating bus stops did not exist. And as of my last review of it, I don't think there have been any guidelines specific to floating bus stops that the ADA has commented on. And in fact, there are no national standards for floating bus stops. So I'm a little bit confused by the reference to the ADA guidelines. The ADA guidelines are very generic and, as has been pointed out, very basic. One thing I would point out in that picture is where the railing is on that bus stop. There's an edge that is a step down. Someone who is not familiar with that bus stop could easily fall off that edge, particularly if they have low vision, and particularly at night. I'm a little bit concerned by that. I am also concerned, quite frankly, about the variation and variability in floating bus stops in the region. If you go to Baltimore or you go to multiple places in Montgomery County, the design seems to be different in each area and even within jurisdictions, What that means is someone getting on, let's say in Montgomery County, who wants to get off in Virginia at one of the bus stops, won't know what the design is of that bus stop because there's no standardization. And especially if you're blind, how are you supposed to know which way to locate the exit and whether or not you have to push a hawk button to announce that you're trying to you know, there are just so many different patterns. It's concerning to me because I would really love to see not just jurisdiction to jurisdiction, but a regional DOT group decision on what the plans are going to be, because it continues to be dangerous for particularly low vision people, but also, as has been pointed out by Phil, for people who have mobility issues, people who are in wheelchairs or motorized chairs. There are a lot of issues, and knowing what the treatment is for the crossing bike lanes and know what to expect when you're trying to get to the main walkway of the sidewalk. I have grave concerns.
Thank you, Seth. I must admit that I am a bit surprised that there's been no regional or national model that jurisdictions could use in building these stops. Obviously, or at least in my opinion, Arlington County needs that. In fact, I hope that Arlington County can point out where they have taken into consideration the needs of people with disabilities and seniors, especially when it comes to bicycle lanes and bus stops. Perhaps, Seth, based on your comments, the advisory committee could help in getting more movement to assist transportation engineers or jurisdictions in planning better floating bus stops.
Chair Calabia, yes. This is Anu. It is 5:05, so it is time for us to move on to the next topic. However, I do see a hand up by Matt Johnson from MCDOT.
Oh, I never met Matt Johnson, but I understand that he is has been dealing with floating bus stops in Montgomery County. Matt, please speak.
Thank you, Chair Calabia, and thank you to Dr. Morgan for attending the meeting and talking about his concerns and sharing the concerns of the Commission on People with Disabilities in Montgomery County. I'm Matt Johnson. I'm a project manager with MCDOT, and I just wanted to point out that there has been regional coordination. There is certainly a need for more regional coordination. We just, this year, 2021, Montgomery County got a grant from the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments to create a design guide for not just for floating bus stops were included in it, but for designing streets for people with vision disabilities. We have met with Arlington County about their floating bus stop to talk about how things could be more standardized, to get to share what we've learned. There's certainly more room for collaboration. And one of the things that the design guide talks about is how we can create standardization across the region. That's the goal. And you know, there are probably maybe 24 floating bus stops across the Washington region at this point. It's not always going to be possible that everything's exactly the same, but we are working in Montgomery County to standardize our floating bus stops. So we have some that were built as far back as 2017. And one of the reasons that they have variation is because we have heard comments from the community over time. We built some in 2017. We heard comments. We made changes for our next generation based on those comments. And then we heard comments on those. So our next generation will have more improvements. But that means the old ones don't match the new ones. But that's part of the trade-off of listening to people and making improvements. If we just said, well, it's too late. We've already built some. We can't listen to your comments. So they have to all be the same. But that's not the right approach. So our approach is to actually go back and retrofit our old designs so they are standardized as much as possible. And we are certainly happy to work with the other jurisdictions to share what we've learned and to hear from what they've learned. But that there has been regional coordination, and that guide, which was just published this week, and I'm happy to share the link on the website where you can find that. But there's a lot of great information in there, and I look forward to continuing to work with the other jurisdictions, with the Montgomery County Commission on People with Disabilities, and with the other organizations such as the AAC to make the future better. And I said to Dr. Morgan and the commission many times, did we get it right this time? No. Are we going to get it right next time? Probably not. But we hope that every time we do a better job, and we are learning. There are no national standards. We would love for there to be national standards. Absolutely love for there to be national standards, but there aren't. And one of the things that will help create national standards is jurisdictions trying things out. Because if no one's doing it, there's no pressure for the federal government to create any standards. So that's what I would say. And I would love to speak to the commission more. And I know you're over time, so I'll stop now. But I really do appreciate the time that you've given me, and I've appreciated the discussion I have heard today.
Jim Hamry has his hand up, but let me mention, Matt, that you probably know or knew the late Charlie Crawford, who is a resident of the Montgomery County. And it was Charlie Crawford who brought to this committee's attention some of the matters related to floating bus stops. In light of what you've just said, Matt, maybe this advisory committee and your group can help convene some sort of a regional conference by Zoom or otherwise to better focus on these things, so that instead of working by ourselves or one jurisdiction alone and another jurisdiction alone, we can bring together the best minds on this and the best experience on this. Speaking as a member of the Accessibility Advisory Committee and chair of this subcommittee, which has convened a number of discussions on this, I would be happy to work with you on encouraging some sort of regional approach or even a conference to develop a regional approach. Jim Hamry, please. Jim?
Yeah, I'll be very quick. I think one of the key takeaways from this presentation and last month's presentation is that there are different definitions of coordination and regionalism. This is the first I've heard of the document that Matt is discussing. And we do all the bus stops for Metro. So there are a number of different paths that things get communicated. And I think one of the key takeaways is that the transit community needs to be a part of these design discussions and decisions before they turn into concrete on the street. That's not always taking place. The folks who do building aren't always attuned to who's actually using the facilities. And I think that's one of my key takeaways and challenges for Metro staff, is to make sure that we are in fact engaged in these conversations in advance and not surprised once it's arisen on the street and we discover that someone wants to put a bus stop flag on. So thank you for hosting these meetings. These have been very informative and a little embarrassing, but I think we'll be able to catch up. I want to just thank Arlington. They're very open and interactive when it comes to new designs and innovation, and I'm sure we'll be able to take these suggestions and turn them into improvements on the ground.
Jim, no need for embarrassment. Improvement is a process, and all of us engaged in these discussions are attempting to develop a process where we can continue to improve the concepts and that we've been talking about and build better bus stops, including floating bus stops. Anu, could you tell us where we are on the agenda?
Chair Calabria, this is Anu. We are 7 minutes behind schedule at this point, but we do have Zachary and Philip to give us information about the Roslyn Station study. So Zach, if you would unmute yourself and go ahead, please.
Yes, please.
Hey, good afternoon. My name is Zach Billett. I'm a project manager with the WMATA Office of Planning and Station Planning. And I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you today about the Roslyn Station Capacity Project. So this is a project similar to others that are getting started around this time that are looking at solutions to mitigating crowding that we have identified at several stations. We, in the last few years, have prioritized stations based on levels of crowding and have done projects to study the extent of the problem and propose and develop alternatives and preferred alternatives for mitigating crowding. Now, when I say crowding, we identify it at several key locations. In this example with Roslyn, crowding was identified on the platforms, but we also identify crowding in other locations at fare gates and vertical circulation, which other projects are addressing for other locations. But with Roslyn, we've identified platform crowding. Roslyn is a bit of an unusual station. It's there are only a few stations like it where you have a vertical stack of the tracks. The inbound and outbound track are each on their own level. And as a result, there is a challenge with vertical circulation there. There's only one elevator between the two platforms. What we are aiming to do is, again, to study the problem, get a good understanding of the existing conditions, the extent of crowding, and then develop alternatives that would reduce that effect and improve safety. We are considering a wide range of conditions within the station, including accessibility issues. And I should add that this project will only go as far as preliminary concept design. This is not a preliminary engineering project, nor that will be the next phase, nor will there be construction as part of this project. This is merely to study the problem and develop alternatives and do some constructability analysis on those alternatives. So I wanted the opportunity to introduce the project today and I put it to this group to hear about any particular concerns within the station that we should be thinking about while we begin the project. So we've had the opportunity so far to engage a number of WMATA stakeholders within any location or asset. You have a lot of different groups from WMATA represented. So we've had the opportunity to talk to a lot of different departments so far. And earlier today, we had a project introduction for Arlington County. It's our plan to engage a number of neighborhood groups such as the Business Improvement District and others. But as I said, the project is still in its preliminary phase. So before I open it up for discussion, I'll just provide a quick overview of the station. I'm trying to share my screen now. Hopefully you can see this. Can someone confirm my screen is visible?
No. Not yet.
Not yet. One moment, please.
Now it okay. is. Yes.
It's up now.
Okay, great. So what I'm showing here is a 3D diagram of the station. So just as an overview, so there is the one escalator bank from the entrance off of Moore Street on one side of the street. On the other side, there was the project somewhat recently to add elevators down to the station level. So there are several elevators there. And from the street, so the main entrances are from either side of Moore Street, but then there's additionally an entrance from Fort Myer Drive. I'll show what those entrances are in a moment. So again, as I said, Roslyn is a vertical stack station where you have, rather than both tracks on the same level, you have one track and then below by access by either elevator, escalator, or stairs is the outbound track. This as I mentioned, contributes to challenges of vertical circulation. Additionally, just by the nature of where Roslyn is located and its function within the system, you have some transfers where people are not necessarily going to another platform. People can opt to, or riders can opt to get on any blue, orange, or silver train out of the district, for example, and then at Roslyn, they must then, you know, they can get off and get back on where for the right line to their destination. So you have a unique set of challenges for this station or circumstances. And I'll just show quickly from the street level. This is the entrance to where the escalators are. This is from Moore Street. The escalators are located through these passageways. And on the other side of the street is our elevator bank where there are several elevators down to the station area. From the other entrance to the station from Fort Myer Drive, this is a stairs only entrance. So we know that we're aware that this is has challenges for accessibility. It's the stairs only from the Fort Myer location. Whereas the from Moore Street is accessible from by escalator and elevator. We've spoken before with Carol Lopez, who's gone over some of the key accessibility challenges for the station. As I mentioned, the Fort Myer entrance, some issues of wayfinding, and then some issues at the street level. But I will pause there and put it to the group. As I said, we're in the preliminary phase of establishing existing conditions, and I wanted to ask if there are any thoughts or considerations that we should have while we begin this project.
I do see one hand up, but let me compliment you, Zach, on the first slide that you show. It occurs to me that when we eventually look at Silver Spring in terms of wayfinding, I hope that staff or someone else can provide us a similar diagram or infographic of the Silver Spring stop to show how complicated it is and how wayfinding would assist us in getting around that there. Phil, you had your hand up?
Yes. Lost Spring is one of my favorite stations, except Fort Myer Drive. And I'll point out that the Social Security office is up on Fort Myer Drive. And so you have a lot of disability people trying to get in and out through a staircase, which is hard to take your wheelchair up a staircase. The express elevators are fantastic. The one problem is the express elevators then bring you down to the platform going into the district, and the down escalator to the right is out a lot. I would probably say more than half the time that I come into the station and am heading towards Reagan National Airport, I can't get down the escalator because it's not functioning. So those two escalators either need replacement or better maintenance. They're really bad. The other thing I would point out, advisability for changing trains, I often recommend to friends that they go to the next stop to Foggy Bottom, where it's just a walk across the platform. Or if you're going in the other direction, go to Courthouse, one stop, where it's a shared platform, a shared center platform. So I think some of that information might be useful, either on the website or some way you can tell people it's easier to change. Because often people coming in from Metro Center will get on the wrong train because the PIDs aren't working and the side signs on the trains aren't working. And so they'll go down the escalator at Metro Center and just jump on a train that's there. And they will wind up on either an orange when they want a blue or vice versa. And it's nice to point out to them that the center platforms are at Foggy Bottom and at Courthouse in case they need to change. So those are just some signage suggestions. And if you can do a better job of making those down escalators work between the upper platform and the lower platform. Thank you.
Thomas and Doris have their hands up, but please, first, Zach, could you respond to sure. Phil's comments?
First, as far as escalator outages, we've just taken a look at the schedule for replacement. I believe within the next several years, all vertical circulation will have modernization programs to repair and replace each of those. So I don't know if that falls sort of late in the cycle, but they are all scheduled for replacement within the next, I believe by 2024.
Thank you.
Thomas and then Doris.
Hi, did you call on me? Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thomas Mangrum, Doris first, and then you.
I'm sorry.
No problem.
Yes, this is Thomas. At the Silver Spring Station, because of all the destruction that's going on over there, it makes it difficult for somebody that don't know how to get to the bus barn, you know, to catch the buses. Well, I had, because like, you know, we don't have no signage letting people know, especially wheelchair users, which way to go. to get to where the buses are. And also, another question is this. For some of the stations that you might be having problems with, is there a way that some of us that's on the remodel board could like be with you or someone else and point out the different problems while you with us and you could see it, or maybe taking pictures or whatnot, so you can get a better idea of the different issues that people bringing up.
Zach?
Yeah, I think that's a great suggestion. I think we can coordinate with the AAC and talk about, you know, the best way to really get more input, whether it's doing a walkthrough station tour. I think that's a good idea. We'd be interested in doing something like that.
Thank you, Zach. Doris?
Hi. I'm wondering, when you're studying crowding at stations and the reasons for it, whether you are looking at urban development and coordinating with the community, because there's a lot of housing as well as commercial development going up right now in the Roslyn area. There are a couple of big, huge towers that are going to go up. And then another development back on Fort Myer, where the Holiday Inn was, is, and others. So I think that might contribute to some crowding in the station. Plus, since it's a transfer station, new development in Crystal City with Amazon and the rest of it and Pentagon City. So I think there are going to be a lot of people going through. And I'm wondering whether you look at that and try to estimate how many people are going to be coming through the Roslyn station and whether we're just going to have to live with it. And the other question that I have for you is have all, do you know, I know you're maybe not a bus person, but do you know if all the bus transfer stops have resumed coming back on to what is more in front of the station, or whether there are a considerable number of buses who are still letting people off two blocks away, because that, ever since that started, has been a horrible situation and very hard for people with both mobility and vision impairments to have to deal with coming back and forth. Fort Myer Drive is the worst place to have bus station, because it's not just because of the stairs into the station, but because the slope on the hill and everything. It's just really difficult. So I'm wondering if you're looking at all of that in terms of
give him a chance to answer, Zach.
Future crowding at that station and Zach, how to deal with it in an urban development context that perhaps the counties could help WMATA to expand the station or whatever.
I'll answer. You had asked about service restoration. I can't answer that question. I'm not as familiar with what bus service is doing at the moment.
Well, the good thing though is to make sure when they do move it, which they do, that the signage is available online and also at the station, so you know where you're going to get the connector or the bus to the airport or any of the other numerous buses that stop there. Information is key, because often I will walk all the way down to the old stop and they say, sorry, we're not there right now. Gotta move. And you're standing in front of the beer garden.
Jim Hamry's time is here for his discussion. But Jim, with respect to what was just discussed, do you have anything to contribute on what was just discussed?
A lot of the requests that are and observations that are being offered are on right-of-way owned and controlled by Arlington County and are outside the bounds controlled by WMATA. Been a challenge in the two cycles of bus stop redesign that I've been involved in, and since the inception of the station has made improvements there complex. So that's a factor that we'll have to partner with Arlington in order to identify how to make improvements. There were hoped for improvements with adjacent development that never materialized. So anything we do probably going forward will have to be paid for by Metro. As far as services, I'm sorry, I couldn't quite hear what Doris was saying, but the Metro bus services at Roslyn, 38B, 4B, the 5A are all operating. We did restore the 3Y, which bypasses Roslyn. I believe all of the Arlington County services are operating there now as well. So the services have been restored.
Doris, you had your hand up quickly, please.
It's only just a quick announcement for those of us that are not online. They just suspended train service between Pentagon and Foggy Bottom because of a derailment outside Arlington Cemetery. And so you will be coming through Ross Lynn on the way to Foggy Bottom.
Doris?
Oh, if I could, I just wanted to respond to one of the questions before about crowding numbers. So the crowding we identified was based on 2019 ridership, so pre-pandemic ridership. And while WMATA is still is in the process of producing ridership estimates and projections for return back to whatever the timeline is, back to the ridership we had before the pandemic, one thing's worth pointing out, which is that we identified crowding in 2019. And whatever solutions we deem necessary to address that level of crowding will likely take several years to first in planning and design and then through to construction if we decide to move forward with one of these plans. And that time horizon could be 3 to 5 to 10 years. And during that time, I suppose I'd only be optimistic to say that we expect ridership to be back to where it was. We obviously have no idea, but at least it's a problem we knew did exist. And with the timeline to bring about one of these projects into existence, into service through construction, we may see ridership return during that time. So these numbers are not based on construction of anything in station adjacent or along those lines. It's more just based on ridership before the pandemic.
Thank you, Zach. We're now into Jim Hamry's time. Jim, you want to start? Unmute yourself, Jim.
Just finding the button, it's a little different than on Teams that we use all day long. And I wanted to make sure that I covered the topics that you had asked be covered. I believe the first, pedestrian signals and trip planner. So we did not get a chance to get all the way around the region with the pedestrian signal information. I apologize. We've had a few emergencies in the last month and staff has not completed that task. I will commit to being able to report back to you on the change in the announcement that we talked about at the last meeting. As far as trip planner goes, there is a longer term plan for updating the software for Trip Planner, but we really do need to bring in Darby Dickerson, who's the acting director for customer service, to talk about the larger plans that they have for expanding and enhancing responses to the customers. As you can imagine, there's a lot that's been evolving very quickly with the application of new capital resources and with the shortage of operating staff that have taken priority. And so a lot is still under development.
That it, Jim?
Chair Calabi.
Yes, Anu, is that Doris?
Yes, I see a hand up and that's Doris.
Doris, unmute yourself.
Did you call on me?
Yes.
Yes, okay. The question that I had about the, another question that I had about the platform crowding at Roslyn, had you looked at how that compares with Pentagon, which has the same design, because that's a very busy station, I believe, because of, you know, the Pentagon and the DOD buildings being there and all.
Jim?
Pentagon and Roslyn are both designed with wider than normal platforms on the rail platforms to be able to accommodate crowding. However, one of the challenges is always the ability to go from the lower level to the upper level and the placement of those locations, of those escalators. And of course, the elevators are at the far end. So if you can plan ahead, you can take advantage of those locations. But for the majority of people getting off the train, it can be a walk. And that then generates the crowding when you're trying to all wait to get onto the escalator. So that's have to be something, you know, to talk about with the vertical transportation aspect of those stations.
So are you saying the situation is the same or not the same? That's what I'm, I mean, is
well, Pentagon carries, you know, Pentagon carries pre-COVID, Pentagon was actually carrying a few more rail riders through that station than Roslyn does. I think the one difference is Roslyn does become a little bit more of a transfer location than Pentagon does, so you may see more dwell. It's also a bit of a different timing in the pattern, in that Pentagon is very much a flow through for bus riders. And so they come in and they go right through and they're very experienced. Roslyn's a little different in that it's more oriented toward connections with the community above. And of course the 91 foot escalator is an impact on that.
Well, Jim, the other problem that Roslyn is, depending on whether it's a 6-car or an 8-car train, you don't know how far to go from the elevator or the escalator if you're changing. Because there can be a long walk to get to the 8th car. It's 2-car difference.
Well,
and so it's really important for the signage on the PID to let you know whether it's a 6 or an 8.
And we've been operating nearly exclusively 8-car trains since the advent of COVID. So hopefully that has simplified.
Well, yeah, no, that's good. We get back to normal.
Well, we can make believe.
Yeah, but I see the point about Pentagon being a pass through station versus Roslyn being a destination station, and sometimes not even just a destination station for people who live there, but for all of the other activities and shopping and all of that that's down at Roslyn. That's exactly why I asked the question about looking at all of the development and design, because there are going to be thousands of people moving moving into Roslyn, and they're right in a small space with a small station. So that's why I was thinking that looking at the urban design there might also influence how we think about expansions or whatever in Roslyn Station.
Well, and
we also think about the silver, orange, and blue project, which may change everything.
But Arlington did make a significant investment with the addition of the three elevators and the creation of a new mezzanine and kiosk for that station to expand the capability to get from the terminal, from the station up to the ground and back again. That's a very significant impact, which was intentionally done to provide capacity for those new buildings that you're referencing. So I think the expectation is that they'll be able to stay within standards, at least the projections we did 15 years ago, that the crowding will and the volume will stay within standards into the future, despite that that growth of the community.
Any other questions or comments for Jim?
Chair Calabia, this is Anu. I do not see any other hand up at this point.
Okay. In any event, Jim, I'd like to send you the pictures we've taken of some of the floating bus stops since you deal with buses. I tried to send them to you, but my address kept bouncing back. I will send them to you again.
Or send them to Anu, and she can forward them to me.
Okay. We have now reached the public comment period. And if there are no public comments, I'd like to address Matt Johnson once.
Chair Calabia, this is Anu again. I did not receive any public comments via emails or phone calls, and I have not received any chat messages about making public comments either.
Well, then two things. Jim, coming back to buses, you're probably familiar with the Hawk signals. Do you have any involvement with the placement of those?
As a WMATA position, no. Generally, the jurisdictions are responsible for the decision to install them. And then our role is to make sure our bus operators are aware of what they're supposed to do when they encounter them. It can be a challenge, but there are AUX signals, you know, throughout the region. Arlington's been fairly innovative in the way that they've used them.
Who pays for them if they're shared responsibilities?
No, that's exclusively the right-of-way owner. In other words, the appropriate jurisdiction or DOT.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else for Jim? If not, I'd like to return to Matt Johnson, who's still with us. Matt?
Yes, I'm still here.
Yes, Matt, I mentioned before that our interest in floating bus stops arose from criticisms that the late, very beloved Charlie Crawford raised before he died last year. I imagine that some of the floating bus stops that you may have had or may have been improved in recent months or years. Matt?
We have made some changes to the floating bus stops on Second Avenue that were the ones that Charlie brought to your attention. Some of those, I think one of the things that people don't always understand is that construction is not an event, it's a process. So sometimes things appear and they're not done yet. Like when I actually visited the Arlington floating bus stop, and when I visited there, it didn't have a railing yet. It didn't mean there wasn't a railing coming, it just hadn't been installed yet. And that was one of the cases with our bus stops, was that when Susan and Charlie first brought some of their concerns to our attention, they weren't, the work wasn't done yet. But we did make additional changes to the bus stops based on the feedback that we got from Charlie and Susan and other people in Montgomery County who have disabilities. That being said, we're still working on, as I mentioned, our plan is to upgrade all the other floating bus stops so they meet the new standards and they're as similar as possible to each other. And that work has not commenced yet, but we're working on plans, and we will be, you know, bringing those plans to the Commission on People with Disabilities as those when they're ready for comment. Right now we haven't really started that process, but we're working on getting that. We're getting consultants on board for that.
Matt, the floating bus stop that was brought to our attention by Charlie, has that one changed significantly since he brought it to our attention and before his death?
I don't know when he brought that to your attention. I know that when he brought it to our attention, we have made some changes to it, but it has not had any significant changes in the past year. So I don't know, but we have, you know, we did make some changes based on what Susan and Charlie brought to our attention.
Matt, so far of the advisory committee members, it's only been I who've gone out and taken photos. I'd like to take a photo of the one that Charlie pointed out for, in a sense, historical purposes. But for other ones, in the event that the committee can identify some flaws that should be brought to the attention of designers and traffic engineers so we can correct this. And then related to that, if you can figure out how we might together put together some sort of regional conference on the whole question of floating bus stops. You have a grant to deal with floating bus stops, you said, and maybe somehow you could figure in prefatory discussion related to your work with the grant and the idea of building some sort of regional or national model of floating bus stops that will safeguard seniors with people with disabilities and seniors. So if we could get together on that, you and I, at some point, I'd appreciate it.
Sure, I'm happy to meet with you and anyone else who has any questions or concerns. We've definitely met with people in the field for at a variety of our bus stops. One of the things that we did with the study that was recently completed was we actually had field visits with a group of stakeholders with low vision and with other disabilities. So we were able to observe them. And that study was not just about bus stops. It's about the entire transportation network. So looking at how we can make crosswalks safer, how we can make traffic signals work better for people who have vision disabilities. It included floating bus stops, but it's not just about floating bus stops. But we did observe how people navigated the built environment and got, I think, a lot of good feedback. And this is just the first step. I did share a link in the chat. It's pretty far up the chat now, I think, but I did share a link in the chat about where you can find the link to the study, which was just published this week. The grant is completed, it's done, but the study was just published this week.
Terrific. I'm anxious to see that publication. It is now...
Chair Calabria, this is Anu. Yes. Carol would like to make some comments.
Oh, sure, Carol, yes.
Thank you. Now, this is Carol Lopez. Matt, I know that Montgomery County has put bus stop signs for cyclists to yield to pedestrians. Is that included in your study?
Yeah, so we, on Second Avenue, we added, this is what some of the feedback we got from Charlie and Susan, was that the signage needed to be clearer that cyclists were required to stop. There was some concern that cyclists would not know that they had a duty to yield. So we added, it's a sign that's called an R16A. It's the paddle sign you may see in the middle of the street sometimes. It says state law stop for pedestrians. If you're in Virginia, it says state law yield to pedestrians, because that's how Virginia's state law is written. But in Maryland, it's state law stop for pedestrians. So it's a paddle sign. You usually see it posted on the center line. And I wrote, we didn't have room to put it on the center line. It's posted to the side. But yes, there's a sign that says you're required to stop.
Is this in the publication that was just released?
Well, yeah, it makes a lot of recommendations about different countermeasures. And it doesn't say you have to use every countermeasure every time. There are sometimes things are more appropriate than other times. And I would say in terms of standardization, we talked about Roslyn today. Roslyn is a very unique station. It's on two different levels. Some stations have entrances in the middle. Some stations have entrances at one end. Like there's variation. There's always going to be variation when you're in the built environment, because not every street's the same. Sometimes there are utilities, but our goal is to make all the access features as consistent as possible and to use countermeasures as appropriate. One of the things that our director has committed is that in the future, all new floating bus stops will be co-located at signals where possible. So sometimes we have a bus stop that's not at a signalized intersection. It may not be possible to add a traffic signal there, but if the bus stop is near a signalized intersection, that the bus stop will be co-located with a signal, so that if you're a pedestrian who wants to wait for the walk sign, you can wait until the signal turns red for the traffic along with the bike lane, then you can cross. So Arlington's bus stop that we saw pictures of today is co-located with a signal. That's an example. I've seen the pictures, Chair, that you shared with Arlington on 14th Street. I think all of those floating bus stops are also co-located with signals. The ones that Montgomery County has already built are not co-located with signals, but we are looking to, if possible, relocate them so that they are. And if not possible, add countermeasures like that state law stop for pedestrians sign.
Okay, I'm going to look up that publication. I see that Steve Cavan is still with us. Steve has not only taken many pictures of transportation facilities, he's even published a whole book about traveling through Europe by bus. Steve, if I could ask you, perhaps you might join me or by yourself, visit some of these floating bus stops in DC and take pictures and comment on them. I think it'll be useful to this subcommittee as well as to the full committee. It is now 5:52. Are there any last questions or comments? Let me mention that I'm pleased that Thomas Mangrum rose his hand and raised his hand and asked questions and made comments. I would encourage more of our advisory committees to think about the issues ahead of time that are to be discussed in subcommittee or advisory committee meetings. We should all be participating and not just a big mouth like me or someone else. Your contributions were expected as when you were recruited as members, and I hope that you will think about your responsibilities to contribute to these meetings and sessions, whether they were ever in person or by Zoom. It is now 5:54.
Chair Calabria, yes. This is Zanu. I just want to remind everyone that if anybody is interested in sending us their comments, they can either do so via email or phone call. The email is metroaacchair@wmata.com or leave a message at 202-962-1100. And I also see Doris has her hand up.
Yes, Doris.
Yes, I want to thank you, Chairman Calabria, and all the people from Arlington who have come. I think that this has been a very enlightening program. So I want to thank again Chairman Calabria and also Chairman Posner thank everyone from Arlington again. This has been a very enlightening program for all of us.
Thank you, Doris, and I hope when we are involved with Matt and maybe other jurisdictions in helping to design some sort of model of floating bus stops to be shared with other jurisdictions, that you play a key role. You are very knowledgeable about the specifics of many stations, both rail and bus, and it would be very helpful to have you involved. Steve, I see your hand up.
Yeah, I would just like to follow on with what Dara said. I thought it was very impressive and meaningful that the last sentence at the end of the presentation regarding the floating bus stop, the Arlington floating bus stops, was the statement, "We welcome your input." And, we're dealing with islands and no person is an island. And collectively, there are a variety of issues that can be looked at and resolved. And so I just want to make that statement. It was quite impressive to see that at the end of the commentary. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. And I hope you don't mind that I've, in effect, pressed an assignment on you to take a look at these floating bus stops, to take pictures and to make comments, as you did in your European bus stop book and in other books that you've since published. Thank you. Again, sure. Thank you to Matt and to all others, to Jim, one of our frequent and one of our nicest presenters who rides with the flow when we take perhaps a hard look at some of the things that are happening with buses. I know he doesn't take it as an offense. He's always been charming and pleasant when he's responded to us. It is now 5:57. Do I hear any objections to adjourning this meeting? Hearing none, this meeting is now adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great evening, and we will see you all in the next meeting, which is next Monday on October 18th. For the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting.
And Anu, if I could squeeze in a review of last month's subcommittee that I wasn't able to deal with this time. I hope you and Paul Summerford won't mind.